England finally get their World Cup underway with a win. Just. And Haiti Show, they're not just here to take part. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sophie.
And this is G'day from GOTB. Right, we are just in the door. It is 1:30 in the morning. What is the process for our listeners around the game? I got in a little bit earlier than you. I left the game, walked home. But obviously you were writing for The Guardian tonight. So what's that process like? Because you got in quite late.
I did. It all gets a bit manic after the game because you have mixed zone, which I didn't do, thankfully, today. And then the presser. And the presser can take quite a while because you're just waiting for them to bring them in. So we got Georgia Stanway, Serena Wiegman, of course, and Nicola Delapine today. But yeah, it took a good, 45 minutes, maybe 50, to get through them all. And then the process for me is, I think I was running on about an hour and 15 minute deadline, and you have to transcribe them all, which takes the longest time ever.
And you had two pieces.
And I had two pieces to write, so absolute hell. So I was a little bit late with the second one, but got them done. And yeah, it's just been a bit of a manic day because we left the house at 9 a.m. this morning to do Ireland press. So yeah, I feel like I've lived 3 days in one.
And I'm glad I actually came home early because it turns out I had a podcast to record, which was in my diary for tomorrow morning. So Upfront is also out for you to listen to. You've got loads of analysis to listen to. Aren't you very lucky? Right, let's talk England. Fair to say, not their best performance?
Not their best performance at all. You could tell the cobwebs were there. Especially in defence. I know a lot is made of England's attack at the moment and not scoring in open play. I think that was the fourth game they haven't scored in open play. Well, three, and then if you include the behind game, closed doors game against Canada, that makes four. But yeah, I think the main worry today was actually in the defence. I think they were building quite well in attack in that second half, and but for the goalkeeper, Curly Thews, I think... she made some stunning saves. So I think there is positives there, and the movement, especially when LJ came on, improved massively. But yeah, defensively, you could tell Millie Bright hadn't played 90 minutes of football since March. She was a little off it. The cobwebs were there. And I think just they kept getting caught. They weren't prepared for Haiti's transitional play quite as much as what they probably should have been.
Thank you for the spoilers, because you've pretty much gone through our whole chat already. Because the next point I wanted to make was about the team lineup. So rewind
well,
a little
no,
bit.
There's more to say about that.
Talk to me about the team lineup, because I think there was a little bit of surprise in the media room when that came out.
Yeah, I think we were all expecting Daly to start over Russo just because of the form that she's been on this season. And I think the main debate as well when it came out was who would be centre-back partner with Millie Bright, because obviously Alex Greenwood plays there at club and she's done so well at Manchester City. But Jess Carter has played with Millie Bright as well, and they've got that relationship at our club. But Serena has probably favoured Carter in... When they played together, she generally puts Carter in the centre-back and Alex Greenwood at the left-back role. So that was what I was predicting, but people were like, I think the BBC changed it around about three times before it actually appeared on the pitch. So, yeah, we were all a little uncertain about that. And I think it's probably still to be figured out, that kind of thing. But then I did think Jess Carter had a really solid game, given it was her World Cup debut.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few times where her first touch, I think, let her down. But realistically, she covered Millie Bright a few times. She covered some of the fullbacks because they were getting up so high. They were playing Haiti. Like, they obviously expected Haiti to park the bus. And I don't really think they did that. I think Haiti came at them. And that first hospital pass from Millie Bright, am I using that term right? Hospital pass? I only learned it over here, but I think I'm using it right. To Lucy Bronze, which was immediately intercepted in probably the first minute, I think told us we had a game in our hands.
Yeah, I think it did. Haiti's press and energy, I was wondering how they were going to keep it up, because I kind of expected it to happen maybe in that first 10 minutes, but they managed to keep it going pretty much most of the game. Maybe the last 10 minutes they dropped off, even though they had a couple of chances. But yeah, I think it was, for me, there was a big problem down the right side for England, because Lucy Bronze, we all know how good she is in attack and how good she is at supporting the attack, but it was just happening way too often where she would go off on a little adventure up the pitch or become inverted and go into the centre, and she was almost playing a midfield role, and it would just leave them completely exposed for that ball over the top or the ball through the middle to send a Melchie Dumine along her way. So yeah, it happened again and again and again, and they just didn't fix it, which was weird.
It felt like this game was a little bit chaotic with the whole VAR. A couple of VAR, two or three in the first half. We had a penalty waved away. Then we had a penalty given for the most blatant handball, which was more like a volleyball pass that we've seen in football. And then again, it was kind of brought back into play again because goalkeeper came off her line after making a great save off Stanway's first penalty. So yeah, England scored, but like not an open play.
So about those VAR calls though, I know it's probably, I think it's a rule that you can't give a red card for an, I don't really understand it, because Chloe Kelly was clearly really badly fouled. It was a red card challenge if I've seen one, but because Alessia Russo was judged to have tripped the other defender, she couldn't give that defender, the one who made the tackle, a red card. She could only give a yellow card, which is absolutely bonkers to me, because if it's, even if it's off the ball, off the field of play, if it's a red card challenge, it's a red card challenge. And I've seen challenges like that break a leg. So yeah, I thought that was a weird decision by the referee.
Maybe it's one of those like too early in the games, you sometimes see that. But look, you talked about De Mornay and Theus as well. Theus and goal was, she was brilliant, particularly in the second half. And it was almost like she'd saved that first penalty, hero, and then had to take it again. And it was almost like she said, right, I'm going to make sure you don't score again. And my God, she did that.
Yeah, I think Russo three times had pretty good shots. You know, probably would have scored on another day. But yeah, the keeper was just really, really alert. And given that so much has been made of her size, I think she's 5 foot. Four.
Not wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with her size, but as a goalkeeper, you don't often see short goalkeepers. But my God, did she like control her box and plucking those crosses out of the air when she shouldn't have probably got them. I was just amazed at her performance and how well she read the game.
Very, very brave goalkeeping. Couple of things. Lauren James did come on. I don't know about you, but I thought she would come on for Ella Toon. I don't know whether it was because Lauren Hemp came off, she got booked, bit of a stroppy challenge, she was clearly getting frustrated, but I would have thought James would come on for Toon, because I felt like that's where it wasn't really working. We weren't getting a lot of ball through the middle, and we saw what LJ did against Portugal, but she came on and ended up on the left wing. Would you have done that, or do you think you would have switched her into the middle?
In the press box we were all calling for her to come on for Ella Toon. But I think what we saw from LJ, and I think she's probably done enough to start against Denmark if Serena Wiegmann decides to. But her ability to turn out of pressure, but also put off the passes, and it was opening up the gaps for England. And it was in that last half an hour or so that, you know, they really started to press down on Haiti's goal and create those chances and create those spaces. And but for maybe a bit of more accuracy and a bit of luck as well.
And some good goalkeeping.
And some good goalkeeping as well, of course, like we just mentioned. But yeah, but for those three things, it probably would have been a scoreline that was heavier for Haiti in that respect. But yeah, I thought she was really composed. She does exactly what LJ does. And I was... Ella Toon was a little bit anonymous today, and I think that kind of ability to get work in the space when there wasn't much space, and when Haiti's press was so, so good and so, so on it, and we all know what LJ can do in those spaces, so I thought it was a bit weird that she didn't come on a little bit earlier, maybe.
Yeah, hoping for a bit more of a sharper performance. I know Kira Walsh got caught out a couple of times in possession, so did Georgia Stanway. It just wasn't quite sharp enough. Daly or Russo to start against Denmark?
I feel that now she's gone with Russo, she'll go with Russo. But then I was also saying in the press box that maybe she thought that this game would be a really good chance for the likes of Elatoon and Alessia Russo to get, you know, confidence and get those goals and that link up. And maybe it won't necessarily dictate going forwards, but knowing Serena and how she uses teams during tournaments, she doesn't really change all that much.
That worries me slightly. I said the exact same thing on Upfront, that I thought she was using this to give some players minutes. I feel like, and I'm really intrigued to see this, but I feel like if the occasion calls for a change, just make the change. And I don't think that that is England's starting 11. Do you think that that is England's starting 11?
Pretty much, yes. Maybe LG. That's the only difference I'd make. But then, I think Lauren Hemp and Chloe Kelly did have actually pretty good games. They got Lauren Hemp got frustrated, but they were. It was just that like final ball. I thought Chloe Kelly was so bright, and I don't know how off that performance you can kind of leave her out. So maybe it will be LJ in the number 10, because as I said before, Toon did struggle. She was pretty much not there, I think. Not at the races anyway. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I think we do know that Serena Wiegmann can be a bit ruthless, and she will do what she needs to work it out. And I trust in that ability in her as a coach to figure it out. I think if you look back to last summer, the preparations were so much better in terms of having game time before the tournament.
England were sharper.
They had three friendlies before the tournament. They were so sharp. They've had Portugal and a behind closed doors roll off sub thing. That just doesn't seem like the proper preparation. And I know the circumstances made it so, but it's still a worry that way.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Elsewhere, we had Switzerland 2, Philippines 0. Spain beat Costa Rica 3-0. USA beat Vietnam 3-0. Sophia Smith had probably the best debut anyone could ever hope for in a major tournament, scoring 2 goals and assisting 1, and then getting player of the match handed to her by her dad. I mean, you can't write this stuff.
A pretty damn good day.
That's like a Disney debut.
But she is an absolute superstar, and we've all known it for a while, but, you know, I think there was some worry because she is young and she's never been on the stage before about how she was settled, but I don't think there's any worry anymore.
Zambia, unfortunately, beaten 5-0 by Japan. That's probably the biggest scoreline we've had so far, and probably the kind of thrashing, which is a shame because Zambia come into this tournament so exciting, gave Ireland a run for their money, beat Germany, but we know there's a lot of stuff going on off the pitch as well that they have to deal with, so that is a shame. And then Denmark beat China 1-0, a late goal, I think it was in the 85th minute. So no real absolute dominating performances. Spain had a huge amount of chances on goal. I think Costa Rican keeper did very, very well.
But even though Spanish attack looked really like going forward, they created something like 45 chances and only got something like 12 on goal. So that percentage is really poor. But also, they are so liable to the counter-attack. And Costa Rica were getting in behind.
They scored, but it was offside, right?
That was the other one, the Philippines.
Ah.
But Costa Rica kept getting in behind, especially in that first half. And if they'd just had a better striker on the end of it, I think they could have, you know, caused them some problems on that counter-attack, because Spain are open to that. So that was an interesting one.
So far I've been very impressed with the debutants. Brilliant to see them, you know, putting it up to these teams. Tomorrow we've got Sweden versus South Africa, Netherlands versus Portugal, and France versus Jamaica. I don't know about you, there are some tasty fixtures. I'm really looking forward to the Netherlands Portugal. I really hope it's a replay of the Euros, crazy game we watched.
Yes, and I hope we get to watch it because we'll be on a flight, but I think we do. I might not be wrong.
I get very confused about the times here, because when FIFA put up the times, they tell you the time in New Zealand and they tell you the time in Australia, and I get I always forget to change the game. I need to figure out which game is in New Zealand. It's very confusing. Anyway, 4 games today, 3 tomorrow. Really looking forward to them. We are getting on a flight to Perth so we can get ourselves ready for Ireland versus Canada, which I'm very excited about. We had an Ireland media day today, and I think the fact that Nigeria-Canada scored has been giving them a real boost in camp. So really looking forward to that one. But yeah, we will speak to you again. We've kept this one a little bit shorter this time. Hope you enjoyed.